just whatever he feels. You have complete permission to follow the Holy Ghost. Once you step out from under that, amen, all things are off, amen. Praise God, amen. Let's preach with the preacher, can we? Hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord, ask him to have his way. Amen, as Elder Garcia comes, Jesus.
Let's love the Lord. Let's love the Lord together. We love him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, touch us. I pray for this city. I pray for souls. I pray for everyone here that's got family that needs you. In Jesus' name, everybody said praise the Lord. Isn't this a beautiful life? Living for the Lord is a beautiful life. Amen. Tonight, Madera, after the preaching of the word of the Lord and the altar service, are supposed to baptize a young man that received the Holy Ghost on Sunday. So we are excited about that. It's a miracle when somebody comes to the Lord like that. Hallelujah. Amen. I appreciate Brother Connell, the Connell family. And I don't know why he's my friend, but I'm here tonight. And I love and appreciate him. I love men that love God. And there's some folks that try to make friends with people in the hopes that they could maybe fellowship with a certain school of thought or a certain group of people. That's not my philosophy. My philosophy is follow God, and God will put you in the company of people that love him. Amen. So this is a great place to be. I'm believing God for revival. Amen. And revival is not a magic word, but it does have a lot of meaning. And the meaning that a lot of people have placed on the word, a lot of times this excitement that word just kind of gets people excited, and it should. You know, people think about revival. They think about lots of people coming to visit people, and we want that. But the way I personally experienced revival is, I think the way we should look at it, your pastor can correct this, but the way I personally look at it is, each one of us, if we'll do our best, do our part, to be where we need to be in God, that is the best revival to have. Because that creates the atmosphere for everything that God wants to do. So if we're waiting on the visitors, they may not ever get here. But if we'll do our part, God always keeps his end of the bargain. We serve God under the auspices of covenants. A lot of times people pray and think about God in a sense like, is God going to do this? And is he going to? Folks, God's going to do his part. It's us that need to be faithful to God. Why don't we lift up our hands and say, God, help me to do my part, God. Help me to be where I need to be in you, God. In the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, we love you, Jesus. I worship you, God. I worship you, God. Amen. Amen. I appreciate the invitation to be here, and want to do my best to follow the Lord. Let's go to the book of Proverbs here tonight. And one of the things that will help us to seek the Lord is having a heart that loves God. And I know that sounds very basic, but a lot of the times when we see people fail God is that they left the most rudimentary basic things of Christianity, begin to ignore those things. You want to be saved, you can never fail to pray. You can't ever get to the place that I've been in church long enough, I don't have to pray. Listen, I'm a pastor. I need to pray. I need to go to church. I need to hear preaching. So don't let the spirit of the devil ever deceive you into thinking you've arrived. Don't stop pursuing God until you're walking on streets of gold. I mean, I want to go to heaven. Praise God. I want to be saved. Amen. Let's go to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 1. Very simple message here tonight that I feel for this service here tonight. And I hope I don't scare you away and you come tomorrow night expecting great things. Amen. From the book of Proverbs, chapter number 1, verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive, everybody say perceive the words of understanding. Everybody say understanding. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. If you'll help me preach or preach here for a little bit tonight, I want to talk about the gaps in our understanding. Let's put our Bibles down for a moment and lift up our hands saying, God, I want to understand your word. I want to understand the workings of your spirit. I want to be in the know, God. I want to be in the know. We love you, Jesus. I thank you for everyone that's gathered here tonight. I pray your blessings on this church and this good pastor and his family. I pray in the name of the Lord. And everybody say, praise the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Gaps in our understanding. In the word of the Lord, as you begin to study it and read it, You'll soon begin to realize, if you are pursuer of truth, that you'll find out very quickly in talking to others, reading commentaries, you'll find out that there's such a thing as another opinion and another interpretation. And if you're not careful, that can kind of spook you and say, well, who's right and who's wrong? I'm glad we have the Word of God and we can look to it and have confidence in the Word of God. That we can go to the Bible and we can put our finger on the Bible and say, this is what Jesus said about baptism. This is what the apostles said about baptism. For example, if we are to talk about that subject, we have history, we have precedent, and we have a strong foundation. Amen. Amen. We're not confused tonight. Amen. We have truth. Amen. Hopefully that truth is in the inward parts. We've got to bleed truth. It's got to be in us. But I'm glad we have all of the things we need to know to get to heaven. Amen. Acts 2:38 is beautiful. That plan of salvation. Amen. The oneness of God, that whole topic, that subject, the grand subject. Is beautiful. Amen. And so we have that understanding. And in the word of the Lord on other matters, there's times we have difficulty understanding the word of God. There's a lot of opinions. And the reason for that is there's gaps in our understanding. And I want to talk about those gaps. And one of the things about the word of God is God communicated what his desire for humanity is. He communicated that through words. Through words. Aren't you glad you have a Bible? You can look at it anytime you want to and find out exactly what God feels about something. What he thinks about it. He communicated through words. And words have meaning. Very precise meaning. Specific meaning. As a matter of fact, I was talking to somebody not too long ago, and they said, you want to know the meaning of liberal? You want to know what that word means? And I was talking to him about a subject matter, and I had used the word liberal. And he says, I want to tell you what the Bible says and what the meaning of the word liberal is. He proceeded to show me a verse or two and showed me a set of verses where it's talking about something, about people being evil and wrong. And then after that, it used the word liberal. And I said, listen, I said, brother, I was not using the word liberal in a biblical sense. I was talking about the word liberal as it's currently used today ideologically. I said, the word liberal in the Bible has very good positive connotations to it. So sometimes what people do is take current meaning and read it back into the scriptures. You can't do that. You can't look at Webster's to find out what Webster thought about grace. You got to go to the word of the Lord and find out what God said about grace. So if we're not careful, we pigeonhole God and we are constrained, or we constrain God or limit God because of our lack of knowledge. And what I want to get to here tonight is we should never use any excuse to not pursue God or the knowledge of God. Don't ever get the idea, well, we've got a preacher, and so therefore I don't have to study God's Word. We all need to study God's Word. I believe God wants us to dig and to study and to seek after meaning. Boy, we're living in a world today where people really want to change the meaning of a lot of things that we hold dear. They think that if they'll just take a vote, that it'll change the meaning and everybody will live happily ever after. Well, they can change the meaning of words down here if they want to, but it doesn't mean that it'll change that meaning in heaven. God's word is forever settled. Amen. Let God be true and every man a liar. So there's gaps in our understanding. We read the word of God. It was originally the Hebrew. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. Some parts of it were written in Aramaic. The New Testament was written in Greek. And I'm trying to master English. I have no knowledge of Hebrew, except I can go to a Strong's Concordance. And anybody can do that. But there's a gap in our understanding of this talk. It's a gap that's huge. It's a linguistic gap. There's a cultural gap. There's a worldview gap. And so all of these gaps, and if we're not careful, how many times have we heard people that said, you know, I've opened the Bible, and I can't understand all the these and the thous, and so therefore, I'm not going to study. I'm not going to read it. I believe God's looking for people that will want to bridge that gap. That understand that there are huge gaps, but they pursue God anyways. I've seen people come to church, and if we can just get them to chase after God, after a little bit, they'll start feeling God. But only they can pursue God. You see, there's a gap. Amen. But those of us that have touched God know if you'll pursue God, you can bridge the gap. Amen. Aren't you glad you got the Holy Ghost tonight? For someone that's never received the Holy Ghost, that's a big gap, my friend. It seems like an impossibility. But God wanted people to pursue Him. Praise God. If you're ever going to get anything from God, you're going to have to pursue God. You're going to have to seek Him. You're going to have to talk to Him. You're going to have to bridge the gap. Hallelujah. The word healing keeps coming up in my mind. We need healing. I need healing. I've been sick for almost 2 weeks. But let's believe tonight that we can bridge the gap by pursuing God in faith for healing here tonight. Hallelujah. So there's a lot of gaps. There's a chronological gap. And I want to say also that I believe there's a logic gap. A few years ago, or just not too long ago in the realm of education, it was not uncommon for schools to teach on the subject of logic. And now you can hardly find that subject taught. And so people are feeling their way through life. And you know what happens when you feel your way through life? You'll get deceived because the heart is deceitful above all things. Logic. Well, it's getting harder and harder to reach people through the meaning of words because they don't think clearly anymore. They don't think rationally anymore. We need to be grounded by meaning, God's meaning. Oh, let's give the Lord a good hand clap of praise. Oh, I'm talking about the Word of God here tonight. So we have a responsibility. We do, as conservatives, as apostolics, to bridge the gap, to try to understand. It's okay if you misunderstand other people, but don't misunderstand your pastor. I have preached the Word of God in my church, and I have found that people that pray and that are submitted to God hardly misunderstand what I say. And the people that don't pray, the people that don't, I'm not talking about the appearance of prayer. I'm talking about people that don't pray through and that miss lots of church. Not only do they misunderstand the preaching, I usually got to counsel with them after service because they're not in a place to understand the Word of God. We have a responsibility to be prayed up. Don't waste your pastor's time when you could have easily got in that pew and sought God and prayed through. Because I believe with all my heart that God gives the preacher the message for the church. God talks to the preacher and the preacher talks to the people. How many of you believe that tonight? That God talks to the preacher. So we've got to come believing that God's got a word for us. God's going to talk to us. God's going to help us. God's going to encourage us. Whatever you're going through, don't come in and say, well, I've got to talk to the preacher. You can talk to him if you want to. But come in and pray and say, I know that God's going to talk to me tonight. And I know that God knows what I'm going through. And if I'll hear and I'll understand and I'll pursue knowledge. Hallelujah. There's a lot of people that are spending their money, and you need a college education. You do what your pastor says, but I am not big on college unless parents, specifically pastor as well, is keeping tabs on what classes they're taking. Because higher schools of education have ceased to be higher school of education, and now it's mostly propaganda and just their take on things. So people are getting an education and they're not getting any wisdom. You need to pray to get wisdom. These kids that are going to college, I'm telling you, they're coming out radically different than how they were raised. They're losing their faith in these places. I tell you, we need to get back to basics. We need to get back to the Word of the Lord. We need to get back to what God wanted us to know and to understand. Amen. I see a lot of these kids nowadays. Boy, they know how to work these phones. My kids were so embarrassed with me, Brother Connell, because I had one of the last flip phones. There's a couple, and I ended up getting one of these fancy phones, and I really don't know how to work it because they were so embarrassed that I was back in the dinosaur days and I didn't know how to use it. Well, I still don't know how to use it, but I'm trying. But these kids know how to text in the dark and they know how to find this online and all that. But what God wants is for you to be able to look at the Bible and to find out meaning that way. To pursue God. I have a brother-in-law that's a doctor, and he's got medical journals and books. And I was sitting at his home, and I was up at 5 in the morning getting up, and he was up reading. He's reading his Bible, and he said to me, why is it that I can read all of these books and understand it. And I can't understand this Bible. I'm going to tell you, there's something about hunger. That something in the spirit realm happens when you have hunger and desire for the Word of God. You come to church tonight, you're not hungry, you're going to leave the same way you walked in. Amen. But if something inside of you says, I want to know and I want to understand, God's going to feed you tonight. I said, God's going to feed you tonight. God's going to help you. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me quote a few things that people have said about words. I love words. I love to read. I'm somewhat of a wordsmith, believe it or not. The one man said, all our work, our whole life is a matter of semantics because words are the tools with which we work, the material out of which laws are made, out of which the Constitution was written. Everything depends on our understanding of them. There's a whole lot of people that want to change the meaning of what's written in the Constitution because to a lot of people, words really are not grounded in reality. It's grounded in whatever they want it to mean. As a matter of fact, Lewis Carroll wrote a book, and you may recognize the character when I quote this this individual that he wrote about. And it says, when I use a word, that's what Humpty Dumpty said. So when I use a word, said Humpty Dumpty said in a rather scornful tone, it means just what I choose it to mean, neither more nor less. I tell you, words have meaning. Words have meaning. And they're grounded in reality. The great enemy of clear language is insincerity, where there is a gap between one's real and one's declared aims. One turns, as it were, instinctively to long words and exhausted idioms like a cuttlefish squirting out ink. And that's what George Orwell said. There's a lot of people that choose to not ground their existence through meaning. And I'm going to tell you here tonight, I'm glad we can open up the Bible. And in Genesis 1 and 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Our foundation is there. What we believe is there. We can put our faith and confidence. Amen. There's a lot of folks that say, well, that's all myth. But there's something that needs to take place in our heart if we're going to bridge the gap. I'll tell you where a lot of people can understand the Bible to a certain degree because they went to school, they've mastered the language, they can even go to theological school and master the subjects there. But I'm going to tell you the difference between those that really understand it and those that simply have knowledge. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people out there in the denominal ranks. They've got PhDs, they've got master's degrees, but you know what the Bible says? They're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Ever learning, ever studying, ever looking at it, but they're never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Because there's a spiritual gap as well as a chronological gap and a worldview gap and all the other gaps. There's something about it when somebody reads the Word of God and through faith they say, I believe that. I believe that. They may not have a master's degree. They may not have a PhD. They may be struggling just to get out of high school. But something happens in the spirit world when they say, I believe that. I don't question that. That's God's word. Oh, hallelujah. I tell you, we've got God's word. And the difference between us and them is they never have attempted to bridge the spiritual gap. There's something that happens when you say you're sorry to God. How many have experienced that? There's something that happens in the spirit realm when you just simply say, God, I'm sorry. I repent. Oh, the word of the Lord. Oh, will become new to your eyes. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord. Why is it there's some that can quote the Bible? They can read the Bible, but it doesn't affect them the way that it needs to affect them. Why? Because they did not bridge the spiritual gap. Amen. They did not fear God. They did not respect God. They did not humble themselves before God. As a matter of fact, I was talking to a preacher today. I think it's so presumptuous for someone to take their notes and then bind it alongside the Word of God and then put their name on it and say, this is my notes, and by the way, God's Word is in here as well. There's something, amen, about saying, God, Your Word is above everything. Your Word is above commentary, my opinion. It's above everything that I can think of. Thank God for God's Word. There's something that happens in the spirit world when we take that walk down that bridge of called the spiritual gap. Let's worship the Lord here right now. Come on, let's worship the Lord here right now. How many want to bridge that gap today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's worship the Lord here today. Hallelujah. In Genesis 11:6, and the Lord said, behold, the people is one and they have one language, and this they begin to do, and nothing will be restrained from them. And we know the rest of the story, how God came down, they're building the tower, and God, because of their disobedience, confused their language. And boy, what a mess that's become. Amen. 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 Elder Morton wants me to try to preach in Spanish, and my parents speak Spanish, but I refuse to speak Spanish at home, and I regret it now because we've got a lot of people that come that speak Spanish. But one of the few times years ago that I preached in Spanish, it was so bad my wife understood it, and she doesn't know any Spanish. So just imagine John Wayne trying to preach in Spanish. And he's just adding an O to every word that you think. Just adding an O at the end of every word doesn't make it Spanish, my friend. You hear me? Amen. But Spanish is a descriptive language. It's a beautiful language. When I pastored in San Francisco, there's a Mexican guy that hasn't mastered English, trying to reach Chinese people that can't speak English. And there I was trying to start a church in San Francisco. And it's an international language with all these people trying to communicate to each other. We have all of these gaps. But I want to tell you, we can bridge those gaps in the Spirit. Let's worship the Lord here tonight. Let's worship the Lord here tonight. I feel like the Lord wants to do something here tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Are you willing to reach out to God to bridge that gap? Hallelujah. Maybe you haven't been feeling God like you want to. Maybe you haven't been feeling God like you want to. Why don't you bridge the gap here tonight? Begin to pursue God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord, humbling ourselves. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Everybody said praise the Lord. Amen. In Acts 8:30, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And then he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. I'll tell you, there's a profound principle here. Amen. Here is a man that was reading the scriptures and he could not understand them. And it's not because he didn't know how to read. It was he did not know how to bridge that gap. But he said something crucial. Amen. And I don't want us to ever forget it. And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? One of the reasons some people never get anywhere in God is they refuse to let a man guide them. Oh, I'm glad for my pastor. I'm glad for my elders. I'm glad for my friends. Amen. The day that we get self-sufficient, the day that we start saying, you know what, I don't need to listen to anybody, is the day that we start losing knowledge that is accumulated in our heart. Did you hear what I just said? I know of people that used to walk this way, and they no longer walk this way. Why? They stopped serving the Lord. They stopped humbling themselves before God. And now you'd never think that they would do this. They go to other places now and worship there and have denied the faith. Let me just tell you, you need to let a man guide you. Thank God for the insight. He said, how can I? Except some man should guide me. I thank God for Elder Morton. He's my pastor. Amen. I thank God for a man that can teach me and that can help me. You can't make it to heaven without a good man in your life. God has put a good man in your life. God has put a good man in your life. Let's lift up our hands and love the Lord. If you're not submitted to the ministry, you're going to have a hard time bridging that gap to understanding the Word of God. Amen. There's going to be things about it that just don't make sense to you. Amen. There's going to be things that don't make sense to you. You know why? Because you won't let a man guide you. Not too long ago, and as a pastor, I spoke earlier about revival. Your pastor spoke earlier about revival. I love having happy services. I love having upbeat services. And it grieves me. It grieves me when services are not like that. And what happens at times is that when people are not bridging that gap, not making an effort, I'm not talking about visitors. I'm talking about people in the church. This is why it's so important every time we come to not be presumptuous and say, here I am, God, and I'm just going to understand. No, we need to pray that we'll understand. We need to pursue God. Just like David said, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. We can't ever get so presumptuous and just show up and say, okay, Brother Connell, preach the Word of God. We're on the same page. You can't be on the same page if you haven't prayed. You can't be on the same page if you haven't been living right. Can't be on the same page if you've been looking at things out there that you know are wrong. You're not gonna understand. And not too long ago we had, and Brother Connell, I hope this is okay. You said I could take my liberty. But I tell you, I feel led to say this. We've had some judgment services. Do you still want revival?
Yes, sir.
Sometimes judgment comes before we have revival. Sometimes people that are pretending to be right and are not right have to be removed if they don't repent. We're going to have good church here tonight. Hey, listen. Don't let the Lord remove you. Just repent, get right, and do everything you know that's right. God's good. God wants to save us. God wants to help us. But we've got to meet God halfway. Oh, aren't you glad, amen, that He's made a way for us? Aren't you glad that He's made a way for us? But Brother Connor, we've had a few people that were not making that attempt, and it grieved God. It was to the place, God gave me a dream the other night. I hadn't even told it to the church yet. I told it to my wife, an individual that's in trouble with God. They are in trouble with God. And I had to tell the church not about that dream, but about something else. And these folks, one in particular, was in trouble with God. Now, we don't like that. We don't associate that with revival. But you look at the book of Acts, and you read about Ananias and Sapphira. And after God took care of that, the church had revival. Why? Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's hard to have revival when you don't fear God. It's hard to have revival when people go to church and pop seeds and pass notes and they're looking forward to dinner instead of the Word of God. But there's something that happened when they took old Ananias and Sapphira out that door and said, you know what? I think I'm going to pray through. I don't want to be the next one carried out. You know, there's something that happens when you preach to people that fear God. It just draws it out of a preacher. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I know what I'm talking about here tonight, church. God wants to give this church revival, but are you willing to pay the price for it? No, God, I want it on my terms, and I want it this way, and this is the way I want it to be. Oh, really? You look at the Word of God. There's a lot of pain. It's a lot of suffering. Are you willing to bridge that gap? Are you willing to say, God, use me? If nobody else will pray, God, I'll pray. If nobody else will get up at 4 a.m, God, I'll get up at 4 a.m. I tell you, I thank God we've been getting up at 6 a.m. in Madera, and good things have been happening. Good things have been happening. Good things have been happening. Visitors are coming. But we've also had sickness. We've also had bad things happening. You know why? Because when you start pushing in the spirit realm, the devil pushes back. But thank God for people that are not afraid of the devil and begin to push back even harder. Come on, don't let the devil push you and knock you down. Get back up. Don't let the devil, amen, intimidate you. Get back up. Don't let the devil keep you down. Get back up. When he reminds you of your failures, get back up and say, I plead the blood. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. Brother Connell, we've been praying. Good things have been happening. Bad things have been happening. But we believe the devil's been pushing back. But you know what? We're praying. We're praying. We're praying. We're seeking God. Let's lift up our hands here right now. I know you want it to happen on your terms, but God has a will. God has a will. God has a will. God has a will. Would you pray with that person next to you right now and say, God, use me. Use me to be the instrument, God, to bridge the gap between revival. Revival. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, church. I want it to happen under these certain conditions. I've kind of pre-planned it if I do this and do that. No, there's things that must happen in the spirit realm. There's things that must happen in the pew. Is there enough fear in your heart to respect God, to respect the ministry, to respect what God is doing? Is there enough faith in your heart? See, if you read the Word of God without faith, it's not going to really do what it needs to do. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Hallelujah. Would you lift up your hand and say, God, give me faith tonight. I want to bridge the spiritual gap, God. I want faith tonight. God, I'm asking you to touch the church here tonight. Everyone that's sick, God, I pray you heal them tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's pray here for just a little bit. Come on. You mean you want revival without judgment? You want revival without sacrifice? You want revival without pain? You want revival without a cost? You want revival without repentance. You want revival without sacrifice. Oh, it's not going to happen that way. Oh, there's something that's got to happen in the spirit. I tell you, the word revival's got meaning beyond what the charismatics have given it. Oh, we're talking about the meaning of words. It's attached to sacrifice. It's attached to repentance. It's attached to devotion to God. It's attached to faith. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. There's churches today not preaching on repentance anymore. That word scares people. But we're in love with words. We're in love with God's words. We're in love with God. What does your word mean? Well, what does it mean to me? You may be seated. There's a lot of churches today. Repentance is not part of the picture. Repentance is not part of the picture. I tell you what, repentance is a beautiful word. The churches out there in the denominational world are robbing the people of a beautiful experience in God because they don't like the Word. There's some places they want to take the word blood out of the songbooks because the word blood, it's got negative connotations. Oh, no, it doesn't. It's got beautiful connotations. Amen. We're saved by the blood of the Lamb. We're washed by the blood of the Lamb. We're in love with words. We're in love with the meaning of words. Other pace preaches a lot on the grace of God. A lot of people use the definition in Webster's grace of God, the unmerited favor of God. But that's not what the Greek word means. The word grace, amen, one of the meanings is the divine influence on the heart. We've got to make sure we know really what God wants from us. We got to dig. We got to study. God, what do you mean by repentance? I've heard this church tell me this. I've heard this church tell me that. But God, what do you want? I tell you what repentance is, a crying out to God. God, I'm sorry. God, forgive me. It's an about face. It's a complete change. I tell you, amen, when liberals, amen, get a hold of a word, they totally destroy it and goof it up and it hurts people and it hurts churches. But thank God for a church in this town that's magnifying and lifting up the Word of God. Say, no, God, we want your Word just like you delivered it to the men of God of old. We want it just like you couched it, just like you meant it to be. I don't want to change anything that's in the Word of God. I don't want anything to be watered down. I want it just like God gave it to the holy men of God. Are you apostolic? I'll tell you, that word's got meaning, my friend. You go to the book of Acts. You go to the book of Acts and that word's got meaning. Oh, they were born on the day of Pentecost. Baptized with the Holy Ghost. Baptized in Jesus' name. It's got meaning. Oh, the devil loves to get a hold of the Word and change it. Oh, pervert it. If you look at the Oxford Dictionary, a lot of times what they structured their dictionary is they'll take a word and they'll take the word as they, and they'll cite the first time that they know that it was used in a book. And they'll say, this is the meaning of the word, and this is how this author used it. And if you begin to read subsequent to that, you begin to realize that the word evolved to mean other things. And it, so it is with other words. They take on additional meaning. But I tell you what, God's word already has meaning. It doesn't need to evolve. Because once it starts evolving, it goes through the lens of people that pervert it and water it down and change it. Oh, I love God's Word here tonight. I hope you don't mind, but I'm just bragging on God's Word here tonight. I'm bragging on God's Word here tonight. It's forever settled in heaven. Oh, the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We need to love the Word of God. Let's worship the Lord. I'm not going to be much longer, but I'm going to tell you, we need to look at the original languages. We need to understand God. This was written so many years ago. What do you mean by this language? What do you mean by this word? God, I want to get it. 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 I want to get it, God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. So many people today don't even know what prayer means. Why? Because it's been goofed up by the denomination. World. It's been goofed up by the charismatics. When you look in your Bible, and prayer's got meaning. It means something to pray, to worship. We need to be the protectors and the guardians of the words of God, of the original meaning of the Word of God. Oh, let's give the good Lord a hand clap here tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, let's give the Word of God a good hand clap. God, we love your Word. We're going to be a champion, God, of your Word. No, we're going to be defenders of your Word, God, of what you originally said. Hallelujah. In Luke 10:25 and 26, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up tempting him, a smart man, a lawyer, someone that knew the word of God. Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? Because there's a whole lot of interpretations. Well, how many people do you know? Well, what I think it means. How presumptuous that mere people think they know what God said. I tell you, you need a man to guide you. Someone that's rooted in the apostolic faith. Hallelujah. Not just anybody. Someone that's rooted and grounded in the apostolic faith. One translation says, how do you interpret it? How do you interpret it? I tell you what, I want to interpret it the way God wants me to interpret it. I don't want to put my own spin on it because of the wickedness of my heart. That's what people do. Oh, I think, I don't believe in that preacher. Why not? Well, because I think it means this. I tell you, you can play those games with people, but when you stand in the judgment, those words, those words are going to come back at you. Hallelujah. You can play word games with God, but the scripture is forever settled in heaven. Hallelujah. How readest thou? How do you understand it? Now in 2 Peter 1 and 20 is a very, very powerful set of verses. It says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. I'm going to say private interpretation or arbitrary interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, by holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. If anybody ever tells you, you know, I don't trust that Bible, it's written by mere men, say, no, you got it wrong. It's written by holy men of God. They weren't ordinary men. These were holy men. Hallelujah. And spiritual men wrote it, and spiritual people need to understand it. But I've always believed that what this was saying was that you can't read prophecy and put your own spin on it or give your own take or commentary or private interpretation, arbitrary interpretation. But from reading another translation, it says, above all, you do well if you recognize this. No prophecy of scripture ever comes about by the prophet's own imagination. For no prophecy was ever born of human impulse. Rather, men carried along by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Now, if you look at it from this translation, what it seems to be saying is that God put into that writer what he wanted him to write. That writer, whether it be Peter or Paul or Jeremiah or Isaiah, it wasn't Isaiah that said, you know what, I think I'm getting up this morning and I'm just going to write about, you know, a virgin and write about Isaiah 9:6, unto us a child is given, unto us a son is born, praise God. No, God said, God put that in his heart to write. God put that in his soul. I thank God that we're studying from the Word of God here tonight. It was God breathed, God inspired, and God used men that bridged the gap spiritually. Thank God for people like Paul and Peter and the rest of the apostles, that while people are playing and while people are doing their thing and sinning, that there's men of God that were praying and seeking God. This city lieth in wickedness, but thank God for a church that's trying to have revival here tonight, that's trying to have a prayer meeting here tonight, that's trying to have church here tonight, and we're fighting devils. But while the rest of the city is drugging and taking and boozing it up and doing all it's big enough to do, thank God for holy people of God that are trying to be used of the Holy Ghost. Let's worship the Lord here. Come on, lift up your voice to God here right now. Oh, I love you. We're trying to bridge the gap here. We're trying to bridge the gap. We're trying to bridge the gap here tonight. Oh, it's going to take more than just a little prayer to bridge the gap. It's going to take more than just to lay me down to Jesus at night prayer. It's going to take walking these aisles, praying with all your heart, praying with all your soul. We've got to bridge the gap. We've got to bridge the gap. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's stand together. How many want to understand the Lord? You better get to praying. You better get to loving God. Lift up your hands to the Lord here right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I worship you, God. I worship you, God. There's a cultural gap, a linguistic gap. There's a spiritual gap. Hallelujah, that spiritual gap. It's so important to bridge that spiritual gap. Amen. They came to Jesus one day. Jesus said, destroy this temple. And in 3 days I'll raise it up. Isn't it something? We can look back and say, look how stupid those people were. They begin to look at the temple and they say, it took 40 years to build that temple. And he's saying that he can build it in 3 days. It wasn't that they didn't understand words. But when you're a hypocrite, when you're not right with God, you're not going to get the meaning of those words. Oh, I want to understand God. I want to understand each service, Brother Connell. I believe God's got a perfect will for every service. I don't want to just come blundering in here and just say, well, I'll get through this night. No, God's got a perfect will for this service. God's got a will for this service here. It wasn't that they didn't understand words. They didn't understand genre. It's more than that. They were not right in their heart. Oh, I love studying Daniel. Have you ever read the book of Daniel? One of the most beautiful books in the Bible. He was studying by books, the Bible says. The book of Jeremiah. Studying by books. Got to dig. Got to study. Oh, you just got to dig. People are naturally lazy. Oh, let the preacher dig it out. Dig, dig. Dig in prayer, dig in the Word of God. Praise God. Studying by books. Wonder what everyone else was doing. But there he was, studying by books. And you know what, Daniel? He got a visitation that day. Because he realized there's going to be 70 years of captivity. He studied it out. So you know what? Israel is going to be held captive for 7 years. Then the angel of God visited him. See, Daniel was special. But we can be special too. We just got to dig. We got to pursue God. I don't know what everyone else was doing. But he was studying. And the Bible lets us know that Daniel gained so much insight that day because he pursued God. What he learned is even, it's just beyond, it's beyond words. The insight he gained personally. And because of his pursuit of God, we can all study that today. We call that Daniel's 70th week. And a lot of people read it, but I don't know if they truly understand it. We need some Daniels here tonight that say, God, I know these are words, but God, I want to understand them. I know my pastor says things, but God, I want to understand. I don't want to miss you, God. Let's lift up our hands here right now. Hallelujah. Do you have the Holy Ghost here tonight? If you have the Holy Ghost, you ought to say, God, I want to make sure my spiritual man is submitted. I want to make sure that I'm right in my heart to receive your word, God. See, fear means to respect. You respect God. You respect his words. Hallelujah. Why don't we come and stand in the front here? I invite everybody to stand in the front. We're going to pursue God here. I'm going to read one more set of verses here and we're going to pursue God. Come all the way up to the front here. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The saying came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him? Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Without the Holy Ghost, you can't even understand it, let alone see it. I mean, glad you have the Holy Ghost here tonight. Oh, thank God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel? And knowest not these things. A master of Israel. It's not that he didn't know the words. It's not that he didn't know the words. Oh, let's lift up our hands and say, God, I don't want to just hear words. I want to understand what your Spirit is saying, God. God, I want to be close to you. I want to be close to the man of God. I can't afford to misunderstand. I can't afford to fall into false doctrine, God. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that what we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Lift up your hands, God. I want to understand heavenly things. We sit in heavenly places, church. We need to understand heavenly things. Pray with that person next to you right now. We sit in heavenly places. We need to understand heavenly things. Oh, come on, let's try and pray. I love you, God. Thank you for the Daniels. Thank you for the holy men of God as they were inspired to write of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for men like Moses and Isaiah, Jeremiah, that while others were not living for you, God, while others were not pursuing you, God, oh, they pursued you. They sought after you. Oh, hallelujah. Make up your mind here tonight to pursue God. Make up your mind that you're not going to misunderstand the Word of the Lord. That you're not going to understand the man of God. You don't want to misunderstand him. You want to understand what the Spirit is saying to the church. God, help us. I pray for revival, God. I pray for every soul that's here. I pray for every young man. I pray for every young lady that they would pursue you. Hallelujah. Hello, church, words have meaning. God gave us His Word. He wants us to dig it out. Oh, He wants us to learn to study. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Revival, revival, revival. It starts in every heart, every individual that's here. Revival, revival, revival. Come on. Say, God, I want revival in my soul. I want faith, I want faith. I want to fear you. I want to pursue you spiritually, God. Heal us, God, we pray tonight. God, I pray for those that need healing tonight, God. Hallelujah. We pray for those that need healing tonight. Oh, mighty God, mighty God, mighty God, mighty God. Glory. Come on, have you talked in tongues tonight? Have you bridged that spiritual gap? Have you met God halfway? We have a responsibility to pursue God. Come on, have you prayed through? You're going to misunderstand the preacher if you don't pray through every day. You're going to misunderstand God if you don't seek the Lord, if you don't fear Him. You're going to misunderstand your pastor if you're not living right. Oh, God, forgive us, cleanse us, wash us. We need a man to guide us, God. We need a man to guide us. Worship your God.